you're doing. You're adding value to your clients by giving them way more than just the chip paint, the railings in the stairway. You can actually add value to a house, close, and have some equity. Are we seeing appraisals at the end? Are they appraising, and are the values actually adding up? Welcome to another episode of Real Estate Redefined here at Seaport Real Estate Group. We're here to have a little discussion with Mike Misch of Eastern Connecticut Savings Bank. Discuss a few of the things that realtors out there are dealing with the actually the low inventory that we have.
Yeah.
Most of my buyers that we've been out shopping with in multiple offer situations, the house isn't exactly what they want. How can we help?
So one of the things with the programs that we offer at Eastern that we're using to help, you know, people in this area are renovation and new construction programs. Renovation loans obviously are something that, you know, a buyer can go in and look at a property, not in the traditional sense where borrowers always use those renovation programs simply to, you know, maybe fix up a house with some small things to make it qualify for a certain
kind
program.
Of just get over the hoops, through the hoops.
Right, just get over the hump, just get into the house, make sure it meets the FHA guidelines or whatever guidelines.
So what are we finding? Like chip paint?
Yeah, chip paint,
railings,
broken windows, railings.
Silly stuff.
Yeah, things that FHA, VA, or USDA, you know, borrowers generally had issues with in the past.
Yeah.
And what I've done prior to coming to Eastern and now at Eastern is kind of looking at renovation with referral partners and with borrowers differently than just kind of like patching up a house to get it past a program.
Exactly.
And in this environment where you have low inventory, it's really worked out well because now borrowers are looking at renovation loans instead of maybe doing 5 or 10,000 of renovations. They're looking at buying a house in an area or a neighborhood where they want to be, where they can't maybe afford a new construction house. And they're then taking that house and doing large scale renovations to fit, you know, the buyers of today that are looking for, you know, open floor concepts, energy efficient appliances, you know, different variations on making the house what they want and customizing it. You know, maybe turning a ranch into a colonial or something along those lines to really customize housing and make it what they want and get it into the budget that they can afford.
So this particular loan has kind of changed with what you're doing. You're adding value to your clients by giving them way more than just the chip paint, the railings in the stairway. You can actually add value to a house, close, and have some equity. Are we seeing appraisals at the end? Are they appraising, and are the values actually adding up?
So the nice thing about our program is when we do the appraisals, we have all the repairs that the borrower or the homeowner wants to do with the renovation loan.
Yep.
What that allows the appraiser to do is kind of make a value on the appraisal report subject to the repairs that they're doing.
Okay.
So prior to closing, whether it's a refinance or on a purchase, what that's allowing the borrower to do is to see where they stand from an equity position with the work they're putting into the house in the neighborhood based on the comps right now.
Yeah.
Now, it gives people a good starting point because we're in an appreciating market. So a lot of times, you know, if the renovations take 3, 4, 5, 6 months, they could be, you know, in a better equity position at that point.
Just riding the market.
Yeah, just riding the market and riding, you know, with the increased value. So
nice.
Yeah, it's worked out well there.
Yeah, no, definitely. We've done a couple together.
Yeah.
And
yep.
Everybody's still in touch and happy. And
yeah.
I think one of the keys is setting up with a contractor that is able to do the paperwork and show the proof of insurance and everything else. You can't just use any contractor. What is your experience with that?
So we don't have an approved list or anything like that. But what we do require, obviously, is license, insurance. They have to be a home improvement contractor if they're doing renovation loans. They have to have their new home construction license if they're building a new construction project. I would say the timelines to close, a lot of, you know, budgeting, making sure things come in where they're supposed to be. It really depends on having a good contractor.
Yeah.
And I always tell, it's probably one of the most important.
Yep. Elite.
Yeah. He's excellent. I work with him a lot. And really I tell people that I work with that when it comes to hiring a contractor, I mean, everyone always says, you know, price is a given. You want to get a good price, but in terms of, you know, seeing previous work that they've done, you know, a lot of different, you know, attributes that goes out into picking a good contractor and making sure that they're going to get the job done on time. And that's more important than just, you know, what the price on the page is.
With price, you get what you pay for sometimes.
Absolutely.
All right. So, what I've seen with appraisal aspect and value added from the construction on these loans is how does a new buyer add equity to the home with improvements during this process, so you can actually see it on an appraisal and gain value on the value of their new home?
Yeah, that's a good question, and a lot of that has to do with, you know, the type of property they buy, you know, where they're buying it, the current condition of the property. You know, obviously, if you're buying a house and you're adding square footage, you know, if you're putting a second story on a ranch, that's
cha-ching.
That's right there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're adding square footage. You know, the traditional things, bathrooms, you know, new kitchens.
What about utilities? Or is that brand new furnace? Does that add?
Yeah, absolutely. Value? Absolutely. Yeah. You know, especially, you know, energy efficiency.
Okay.
Energy efficient. Utilities, appliances, things like that, things that are going to target, you know, a specific type of, you know, buyer if you're looking to, you know, compare to what other people are doing. The thing that people have to look at when they're doing renovations is it something that's just considered maybe like general maintenance?
Yeah.
Where you're going to get some money back, but you may not get dollar for dollar value if you're updating, let's say, a roof that's 30 years old. You know, the roof should have been updated, you know, as the house gets older, the
Absolutely.
Windows, the siding, yep. things like that. The one that I would actually tell you that I probably see the most, or the two things that I see the most, is people that think that a pool adds value, which
it almost takes away, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, and a lot
insurance
of
insurance wise, your yep. carrying costs go up as well.
And the other thing that can be very property specific is people that finish their basements.
Yeah,
that's one thing that, I mean, I've had borrowers that, you know, come to me after, you know, doing a $75,000 basement renovation, and it ends up, you know, only giving them, you know, half that what they spent in value added back.
Yeah.
It depends on if it's a walkout basement. It depends on the comparables in the area.
Now, do they consider any of the finished basement finished space besides just finished basement? Like,
yeah,
what's the difference? How would they consider that? Is it three sides have to be without foundation? I knew there was a...
Generally, you know, for it to be considered, and this is asking different appraisers that have given me different answers on it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of one of those things, like a lot of stuff in the industry, it's case by case. But having a walkout basement where you have full accessibility versus, you know, if you have just accessibility through a basement out, you know, a basement window or a bulkhead or something like that, that's
totally
a big
difference.
Yeah. But the thing with the finished basements too is, you know, you can really go above and beyond with what, you know, people put game rooms, you know,
bars,
they put bars, all this different stuff. I've seen people spend $150,000 on finishing a basement.
Yeah.
And it's almost over customized where it's specific to that person.
Yeah.
So then when they turn around and go to sell the house, the people look at it, or the buyers that are looking at it are like, well, it's not really, you know, something I'm interested in. So they've overspent for it.
Yeah.
So that one can be.
So return on a finished basement isn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't,
I mean,
really a great investment.
It's not, I mean, it's not going to be dollar for dollar return on your investment.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes I would say in most of my experience, it's probably 25 cents for every dollar you spend, you get that back. And the other tricky thing with basements, a lot of times that I've seen with people is people love to try to finish their basements without getting building permits.
I've seen that.
And then try to sell it, you know, put it on the market as unfinished. And a lot of the building inspectors, especially in this area, you know, they really, the appraisers go out, they check the building permits now, they're going out to the towns. And I've had a couple, you know, in the last 4 or 5 months where the building officials have made, you know, homeowners
pull sheetrock,
pull all the sheetrock off the walls, pull the insulation out. They want to see the plumbing. They want to see the electrical. So it doesn't really benefit people, but generally people are trying to do it because they want to save on taxes.
Yeah,
they don't want to be charged the assessment.
Yeah, but in the end, it's
do
it right, do it once, get it done.
Yeah.
Don't cut corners, especially when it comes to the town.
Exactly.
And if you're looking to resell at some point, you need to pull those permits.
Yep, absolutely.
It's just the way it is. All right, moving forward, we'd like to talk about this construction loan. I've been talking to some builders. I'm actually meeting with a couple. This is kind of new, right?
Yeah, I mean, the way that we've set the program up is definitely unique to this area. Generally, if you talk to most people and even clients that I work with now, they'll usually come in assuming that you have to put 20% of the acquisition costs or the build cost.
Which so that's land.
Right, land plus total cost of construction.
Yeah.
That's always been kind of the, you know, I would say kind of the traditional 20% down, and that's what most people think, which is why for many years in this area, you know, since the, you know, the last big building boom in the late 80s, when builders were, you know, putting everything on spec, you know, that's kind of how it's always been looked at. We do the program at Eastern with 5% down.
Wow.
So it's, for most people, you know, it's pretty close to what the average person is putting for a down payment. And it's allowing those, you know, those borrowers that can't find the house that they want.
Because of the low inventory.
Because of the low inventory.
Build your dream home.
Right. And there's, you know, there really hasn't been any large scale building, you know, in Southeastern Connecticut since the late 80s, early 90s. I mean, there's still some here and there. And
scattered.
Scattered. Yeah. And there's a lot that has to do with that. You know, the cost that the towns have put on with regulations and things. You know, most of the towns, what they require for builders to install roads. A lot of towns got rid of the ability to build flag lots and subdivision, you know, ways
cul-de-sacs
to divide land and things. But because now we have money coming into this area from outside this area, mostly Boston and New York buyers are coming in.
Yeah.
You know, what they look at for, you know, cost of construction to build a new house, coming from New York or Boston, it's not
as
big a deal. Right.
Yeah.
So
compared to New York.
Yeah, so you're seeing a lot of builders, new home builders in the area, and you know, we've started working with more and more.
Well, I think that helps buyers.
Yeah.
With the low inventory, but I think also it'll help the builders.
Absolutely.
People holding on to these large parcels of land have approvals. They have them on the market for years.
Yeah.
And they sit.
Yeah.
If you look, land sits.
Yeah.
But this is an option for them to get out from under the land, actually get funded somewhat up front.
Yep.
And close all at one time, right?
Yeah. And I mean, it'll have a trickle-down effect as more people start to, you know, in the, you know, the $350,000, $400,000 range and up, as those people start to build more, they're less likely to, you know, push the prices up on already built homes, which is going to help those other borrowers. So it you know, it starts to trickle down throughout.
And it creates a new tax base for the towns that we're building.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It, you know, it has a lot of positives. You know,
so
in this area.
All you buyers out there looking in this market and having a tough time with low inventory, give me a call. We'll set you up with Mike, and we'll get out there. We'll find you a piece of land, get the approvals, and get the ball rolling. It's an amazing program. I can't wait to start. I actually have a meeting this week with a builder for 20 lots, so that'll be coming up soon.
Yeah, yeah. And the builders like it because, you know, as opposed to building a house on spec and trying to figure out what, you know, the buyers in this area want.
Yeah.
The builders, you know, the risk is off them and their own pocketbook. They can customize a build to what a homeowner wants and not worry about trying to sell it on the end.
Yeah, because it's already finished and yeah. people might want changes. Or,
exactly. Yeah. They know the draws. You know, I've talked to a lot of builders and what a builder makes, you know, the average person doesn't realize a builder makes a lot less per house than what your average consumer thinks.
Yeah.
So it allows these builders that are doing a good job building a quality house, instead of trying to build a spec house, it allows them to be almost like just they're managing the project for the homeowner.
Yeah.
It creates an overall better experience for the borrower,
yeah.
for the builder.
And in the end of the day, everyone gets exactly what they want.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
So
yep.
they're not shooting into the wind. They're nope. getting exactly what they want. They know what they're getting. The plans are designed. They all get approved and everything's paid in draws.
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, we usually do up to 5 draws depending on how the builders break down the cost and things like that.
Yeah.
So it's the response that I've had from some of the, you know, small to medium to even larger building companies in this area has been very positive in terms of, you know, what we're doing here versus our competitors and other banks and things in the area.
Does this include like driveways, everything?
Yeah, it includes everything.
Site work.
Yep.
Everything.
Site work, septic, wells.
Yep.
You know, people putting in high energy efficiency furnaces or air conditioning.
Yeah.
You know, the big one that is starting to become, you know, more popular is obviously solar.
Yeah.
So you see, you know, especially down in these, you know, areas closer to the shoreline, as, you know, higher end buyers and they're looking at, you know, energy efficiency. They're looking at net zero housing.
Carrying costs.
Yeah. You know, so that's something I think in the future you're going to start to see more. The industry is going to have to deal with the fact that as these high energy efficient homes and these net zero homes where you're essentially through solar and other means, you know, creating a break even on your energy costs.
Yeah.
You know, that has to then be taken into account with the fact that those borrowers don't have the same monthly bills for, you know, heating oil or electricity that they have in the past.
Yeah.
But that house has a higher upfront cost. So that's something that I think that over the next couple of years you'll see in this area as more people get into the
long term it pays off.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's how that works.
Yeah. And if you're not leasing solar, if you're buying it, put it on your house, it's only a benefit to you because you get the tax credit.
Yeah.
So
with the market being the way it is and the interest rates so low.
Right.
How do you think it's going to affect the market in the future? And if you were in a 2.5% interest rate right now, would you ever sell?
You know, that's a good question. I mean, you're always going to have some turnover, you know, in these markets. I mean, it's definitely going to allow people, you know, as they you know, build equity in their house because the rate's cheaper. So what I'm seeing now is instead of people stretching out a value and trying to do a 30-year, I have a lot of buyers for the first time since I've been in the business in 2005, 2006, that are actively looking at lower terms because the rates are so low.
Build equity.
Yeah, so maybe they sell a house, you know, 5 or 10 years from now if they're retiring and they're moving from the area.
So shorter loan terms would help.
Yeah. I mean, most of the people that I'd say probably 90% of the refinances I'm doing right now, people are going down to 15-year terms.
Yep. Smart.
So they're paying down their mortgages faster. You know, I think there's more with the younger age group too. They lived through the early 2000s and they saw some of the mistakes that was made and they're much more cognizant of, you know, payments and terms and rates and buying correctly and all the things that make like a good home buyer.
The Dave Ramsey effect.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, it's
well, there's a lot more tools out there at people's fingertips with online how to save money,
absolutely.
How to build equity, how to make the right decisions in real estate.
And how to do it smart.
Yeah, you know? Because a lot of people with these interest rates,
in
10 years, they might not want to resell. They might not want to buy.
Yeah.
They might not get this interest rate again. So
yeah, I mean, it's definitely
tricky
something
times.
They might want to, you know, take equity out and do an addition on the house rather than sell it, because yep. the rate on their first mortgage might be so low.
Yeah.
And once the rates start to go up, you know, people have different ideas on when that'll happen. Probably sometime, you know, maybe end of next year.
Yeah.
You know, maybe early the following year. But once they do, we'll probably never see rates this low again because of what brought rates to this
point. And that's why I'm saying yeah. it could slow down the market in 10 years because yeah. people will be more reluctant to sell. Would you trade a loan this low for what's going to be in the future? Could be 8%.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
My first loan was 8%. Yeah. So well, I was 21, but it was a while back. I'm not going to date myself, but.
When my parents bought their first house in 1980, my dad said their interest rate was about 18%. So
wow,
you know,
imagine that with the prices now.
Yeah, he wouldn't be able to. Yeah, but no, it's interesting to see, you know, kind of where, you know, where the market's going to go from here in terms of, you know, what this low interest rate environment did, and how it's going to affect, you know, the market in the long term. I think people moving into this area, where for a good number of years after the last crash here, people kind of thought, you know, we were just going to kind of shrug along.
Yeah.
And you know, the whole COVID thing really has had a, as negative as it's been for the country and everything like that, it's pushed forward. You know, kind of where people can work, you know, they working
the
remotely,
dynamics of
absolutely,
everything. Yeah.
Of our economy going forward permanently.
Yeah.
I have people that I've been in contact with that are moving into this area from all over the United States,
yeah.
you know, the Midwest, all different areas, because, you know, even though we do have, you know, fairly high cost of living, fairly high taxes, there is, you know, a lot to be said about living in Southeastern Connecticut.
Just the four seasons.
Yeah, four seasons. You're near the water. You can go to the mountains. And now it's giving people from all over the United States the ability to live here if they want. And so it's bringing in a lot of new buyers that you know, people never really anticipated.
All right, so I think we came up with a few solutions for the low inventory issues that we're having.
Absolutely.
Hopefully this added some value, and I'd just like to thank Mike Misch for coming down and
appreciate it. Thank you.
Speaking your mind with us, and I hope everyone has a good day. Thank you.
Take care.